There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
A very good evening. This is Richard Dean, and you're listening to the Business Breakfast Nightcap. Coming up this hour, we are going to talk about the launch of a number of new products, Apple and Land Rover to name but two. Plus, we will hear from a Dubai-based property developer that's selling homes for just 120 dirhams a day. But first, Skywards, the loyalty program from Emirates. It is celebrating today. We'll find out why and what it means for you.
In the last 18 months, Skyward has added 5 million members. Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
How many of those new members came as a result of the amalgamation of Fly Dubai? Because you managed to get one big swathe of people, didn't you, in at one time?
I mean, just first that we're really celebrating today a big achievement within Skywards. We've reached 25 million members. As you mentioned, Malcolm, we've added 5 million in the past 18 months, actually 10 million in the past 3 years alone. Fly Dubai per se, there was a lot of overlap in terms of the members being Skywards members and Fly Dubai members. One of the reasons why we brought the two programs together, there are a lot of synergies. I would say around 400,000 members were purely coming out of the Fly Dubai merger. But the growth is coming mostly also from outside the UAE. I think we're pretty well entrenched here in the UAE. But if you look at where the growth is coming, our largest base is actually in the UK with 3.2 million members. And the highest growth market for us is the US, where we have now reached 2.3 million members in the US. Australia is about 1.9, India is 1.7, and actually the UAE is around also about 1.7 million.
That's astonishing. Australia's got more members than India.
Yes.
I mean, this is the thing, the Skywards loyalty program and Emirates, of course, it's part of our daily life here. It's the national airline. People who live here travel a lot. Most people go through the airport one, two, three plus times a year. And most people think, well, why not get some reward for it? So the scheme was launched in what, 2001?
It's 2000. So we'll be celebrating, yeah, 20 years in May 2020.
So you've done very well over that short space of time. But like most things, business has become much more competitive.
Yeah.
There are more flights around. Yeah. And likewise, people are saying that the Skywards loyalty program doesn't give as good rewards as it used to. Is that people's imagination, or is there some hard truth in that?
There is a level of perception in this, and there's a lot of passion when we talk about, I think, loyalty programs in general. You guys have mentioned this a number of times, even this morning. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing, we're enhancing the program. In the past 3 years, I think the fact that we've reached 25 million is tribute to how the program has grown. And if you allow me just 1 second here to enjoy this achievement, not just as Emirates or Emirates Skywards, but as UAE. This is a made in UAE business that has soared internationally. And we're now with 25 million members, being part of, I would say, safely say, the top 10. And if you take the US carriers out, we're probably close running close in the top 5. So it is a business and it has grown. And a tribute to that is the fact that we're adding member to it. So the program is attractive. It's extremely competitive as we have to outside the UAE. And in the UAE, we make sure that our home base is covered very well. So a lot of the benefits we're bringing into the program in the past 3 years cater to the UAE market in particular. We have broadened. So the program 3 years ago, 4 years ago, was catering to mostly the top 3% members, people who have really silver, gold or platinum tier membership. What we've done is we've broadened the base. We've introduced, for example, Cash Plus Miles. And Cash Plus Miles caters really to people who have low mileage in their accounts, who are, for me, I would call them not the frequent flyers, but the aspiring travelers. So we broaden the base to that, and that has increased the attractiveness of the program. And today, about 700,000 tickets a year are actually Cash Plus Miles tickets. You have to think of Cash Plus Miles as using your miles to discount your ticket. So if you're flying, if you're a gold member and you're flying, for example, to London, within that one round trip, you could use your miles to discount your ticket by 7 to 10%.
Yeah, but I would say that Cash Plus Miles is not a new thing. I mean, it's reintroduced, isn't it, really? And in the old days, there was a chart that came out. So if you wanted to fly to Amman, it would be 7,000 Skywards miles plus 1,000 dirhams. it seems to me, and this is maybe just be my perception, it's more complicated now. You don't really know that there's a formula between miles and cash.
There is one, and we have a standard rate that goes, but we do a lot of promotions where we offer special cash plus miles rates. As a matter of fact, as we're celebrating the 25 million member milestone, we have a number of offers to the market actually starting tomorrow, September 12th, for 1 week. You'll get a 25% off a reward ticket, a 25% off an upgrade with miles. And you have a cash plus miles rate, to your point, Malcolm, which is $25 for 2,500 miles. So it's very clear. It's very specific. You get $25 discount on your ticket by using 2,500 miles. It's a great rate. It is about 40% higher than your usual rate that we're using, a standard rate. This year, we've done promotions that that went up to, for a business class tickets, to 2 cents, and I talk US cents per mile on the cash plus miles.
So can I just clarify that? 2,500 miles equals $25?
Yes.
Okay.
It's pretty straightforward.
So $1 equals 100 miles.
So it's interesting. So what's interesting is the fact that we you know, are offering this on any fare, any cabin, any day. It's very different from your reward tickets or upgrade tickets, where you have to look for availability. In this case, you can use your miles on any fare, any cabin, any day. And that allows you for even the Christmas peak to be able to use your miles. Obviously, we're using a dynamic rate. We're actually sometimes personalizing even the rate. Ask our listeners to shop online, because what we do is, within the path when you're booking, we will offer you a specific rate for to incentivize you to actually buy during that session, shopping session.
That availability of seats is, I mean, I could divide all the questions that I'm getting in for you at the moment into three categories: availability of seats, upgrades, and lounge access when using miles. Let's tackle the first one first before the news, which is the availability of seats. Wide variety of questions about the value of miles when it comes to booking yourself an actual seat, a ticket, how you figure out, you know, how many you're going to have on a flight, whether there are less, whether the value of miles is therefore declining. I mean, you're a business. You have to do what's right for Emirates business interests. How do you marry that with doing what's then in the customer's interests and what's going to keep them happy when it comes to being able to actually use their miles to get a seat and feel like they're still getting the good deals they used to?
Brandy, we're the customer advocate within the company, and obviously always push to get more reward availability. But as you mentioned, we're a business, and we work very closely with our revenue management colleagues to have that availability on a number of flights. Again, I go back, Cash Plus Miles is an offer that is available on any flight, actually on Emirates, but also Fly Dubai. You can use your miles there as well. On the classic reward ticket, if I give a number, I don't know if this is helpful or not, but we've done more than 400,000 upgrades last year, last 12 months, and we've done more than 150,000 reward tickets. The earn-to-burn ratio has not changed. We have kept it pretty stable throughout the years. The perception is we've devalued, etc. That is not true in my view. What we've done is actually added opportunity in terms of how you'll be using your miles. Again, the availability is something that we watch very closely, work with our RO colleagues, revenue management colleagues, revenue optimization colleagues, to get that availability. We haven't seen a decline. As a matter of fact, this increases. The number of rewards last year alone increased by about 10%. So it shows that availability is there. Of course, the member base is increasing as well. What we've done also, Brandy, is that we have provided more opportunities to earn for our members. So our drive is earn more, travel better. We want to focus on more traveling, but provide you with more opportunities to earn miles so you can get to that upgrade or aspirational upgrade or reward ticket.
Dr. Najim Bin Khada, the Senior Vice President Skywards at Emirates. We hope you come back and talk to us again in the near future.
Thank you for the invite.
And congratulations on your 25 million members.
Thanks, Brandy.
The Business Breakfast Nightcap
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
A very good evening. You're listening to The Business Breakfast Nightcap with me, Richard Dean. We're getting very excited this week about a number of launches. We'll get to Apple and their new, well, not so new iPhones revealed overnight, but more excited about this that's happening in Frankfurt.
I've had a Land Rover for many a year. I spent all my money on it, not some beer. My wife doesn't like it, she thinks it's a chore. Cause all the pennies fall out through the holes in the floor. But we all love Land Rovers.
We all love Land Rover. It's just because the new Land Rover Defender is out. It's been released yesterday. We were talking about it earlier in the week because, you know, all as cars go into the future, are we getting more retro? We've seen companies like the Fiat relaunch the 500, the little old sort of 50s version. The Land Rover Defender itself first launched in 47. We've seen Volkswagen this week give new electric adapter kits to keep the old Volkswagen Beetles on the road. So are we going more retro? I have to say, looking at the pictures overnight of the new Land Rover Defender, it looks anything but retro. It looks futuristic. It's a very chunky sort of thing. I like it. Brandy pointed out that it looks a bit like a Toyota FJ.
It does. It looks like an FJ Cruiser.
Yeah.
I would want it. And there are a lot of things that Jaguar Land Rover make that I like very, very much. I'm just going to put that out there. The Range Rovers with the complete glass roof. I'll have one. Thank you. But I just...
No half measures then, eh, Scotty?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
This just doesn't feel rugged enough. I mean, I know it
doesn't
has the specs.
Look at the size of the wheels on it.
I know it has the specs to be rugged, but it just looks a bit moulded and pretty for me.
The thing that really jumped out at me were, you know, the things that normally jump out at people. You look at the angle of approach and the angle of departure, you know.
Always.
The angle from the bottom of the wheel to the bottom of the mudguards.
It doesn't look like bits would fall off it. And quite frankly, that's what you want in a Land Rover Defender.
I'm quite a fan. We're talking to them in about half an hour's time. Rich, what do you think of the pictures?
Well, disappointingly, I quite like it.
You would?
No. Well, the thing is, I like sort of shishy pretty cars with lots of nice tech. Not rugged cars like this. So the fact that I quite like it suggests it's maybe not rugged enough. It's got a 10-inch touchscreen with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto.
That's what excited you the most, was it? And not the off-road capability.
No interest in that at all.
Different things, but maybe that's its strength. There's different things for different people. It's got the inside that's a bit cooler than the old-fashioned metal dashboard Defender. It looks much more comfortable inside. It's got a whole bunch of stuff going on there with it, and I like the off-road nature of it. So, yeah, maybe. But it starts in the UK at about £45,000, which is, what's that, just over 200,000 dirhams, Rich.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
It's not the cheapest car on the market.
It's not a cheap car. Jaguar Land Rover don't really do cheap cars. But I do think your point is interesting about this retro move among auto manufacturers. Yes, we've got the futuristic Teslas and so on, but the fact that actually going back to the roots of what a car should be is an interesting trend.
JLR are the Frankfurt Motor Show this week. We're going to be talking to them to get their views. I'm guessing they won't be anything less than positive, I guess.
Also looking at the new launches overnight from Apple, a couple of things that their chief executive was revealing live on stage. It's the annual reveal of the iPhones in particular, but also this.
With Apple TV Plus, you'll get access to these and so many more, the best movies, comedies, dramas, and kids shows. Now, I know that some of you have been wondering, when will Apple TV Plus be available and how much will it cost? Well, today, we're excited to tell you that the first shows will be available on November 1st, and we'll be adding more Apple Originals every month. And Apple TV Plus will be available in over 100 countries at launch. And it is just $4.99 per month for your whole family.
Cue 3% decline in the share price of Netflix.
And cue applause on target.
Yes. That was the one that moved the stock market. Not so much Apple's share price, but Netflix was down 3% on the back of that news. Roku, another streaming provider, down 12% on the back of that news because it's really, really cheap. Whether it's any good or not, or people like it, that's subjective. We'll have to wait and see if the shows are any good. But just in terms of pricing, It's half of Netflix.
Yeah, Patrick Moore, who's an analyst at Moore Insights and Strategy, said, with the new devices and services, I think there's more reasons to stay with Apple than to defect from Apple. And if the analysts take that view, then obviously the share price will reflect that.
The Business Breakfast Nightcap.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Good evening, I'm Richard Dean, and you're listening to the Business Breakfast Nightcap.
We're talking about the business of property now. Meg Property Developers has just launched a new payment scheme where would-be homeowners are paying 120 dirhams a day to secure themselves a property. We're going to find out how that works now with the company's CEO, Talal Al-Ghara. Talal, it's lovely to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you want to talk us through this new scheme? Tell us exactly what you're offering.
So actually, Mag Property Development is offering a different payment plan into the market with a different project, and we found out that we have to stand different in the market, and to see what kind of segments that we keep selling into the next 2 to 3 years. So if you found out that the small amount payments, it will help a lot, because a lot of people love and enjoy the time of living in Dubai, but they want to own a property, but the payment plan is complicated or the bank's process is complicated. So we have came up with an idea to launch most properly in 80 to 90% of our projects. It's going to be 10 years and 15 and 20 years payment plan. And the other part, which also we found, it's also complicated for the international market or the local market, is the other expenses which is hidden during the construction or on the construction or post the construction or post the handover. So we also studied to include everything into the price and to make it into 10 to 15 to 20 years payment plan. That's why we came up with an average of 120 dirhams per day, and it's 120 dirhams and below. So it's not started from. So we have some apartments, it will go to 95 dirhams per day. The plan, it work in a way that they pay a 10%, and after that it follow with 13% during construction over 30 months and 7% on handover. So if you take this 30% and you divide it in your payments, it will come to a daily, weekly, monthly, or quarterly to make it more easy and to engage as much as we can people really to come and to invest into the real estate market. That's how we thought about it, and that's how we wanted to launch it, and how we want to support the whole categories into the market, even like people. That's why we came with 95 dirhams, 100 dirhams, 120 dirhams. So I'll spend a meal a day, or I'll spend on my property. So we want to reach to that level of thinking with people to engage them investing into the real estate market.
Okay, let's break this down a little bit further. If it's going to apply to potentially 80 to 90% of your properties, does that mean it will apply to some properties that are already built as well as those that are off plan?
Yes, we already launched it in Mac 5 Dubai South. It's already a 10 years payment plan. You pay 75,000 dirhams for a 2-bedroom and you move in immediately.
And when you're talking about the 10% down...
10%, it can be down payment, or it can be split up to 3 to 4, or over the 30 month of the project's completion.
So I could effectively walk in and give you 100 dirhams and start the process?
It can, but it should have a down payment. The down payment is to secure the processing with the government, with us, to register the properties and to go there. It may not to be 10%. If someone wants to pay 5%, it will be acceptable.
When you talk about this 100, we'll say 120 dirhams a day for argument's sake, but I know you've said some can be less. Is that just a clever accounting, a way of thinking about how much you're paying? Or would you actually accept daily payments from me?
No, I accept daily payments from you, and that will be linked to our credit cards and to different different networks. We are already in the process, and we took the all approvals in the process to save the cards or the accounts, and we deduct daily from your account.
How does that work if I need to get a mortgage, though? I might not have an extra 100 dirhams a day every single day at my disposal.
You can do it weekly or monthly, the payments that can be discussed on that. That's why when we created the payment plan, we didn't want to make it also complicated with the amount that you will pay during the construction, which is 30% only, and 70% post the handover.
But have you got banks on board with this? I'm picturing me sitting down with my bank and explaining, I just need you to give me 120 dirhams a day for the next 15 years, and them getting a little bit head scratchy about it.
We don't, is it from a security wise, or can you explain it to me more?
I still need to find 75,000 dirhams if I'm buying the property you mentioned. I may still need to go to the bank for that, even if we're breaking it down into daily amounts, because I have expenses. Mm-hmm. I already have outgoings. Mm-hmm. How do I go and explain to my bank that this is what we're doing and how it's working? Have you signed banks up for this?
Yes, we do have banks with us, but even the payment that you have to pay, the down payment or the other payment, there's no bank will give you this amount, because always the bank is requesting for 25% down payment, and then they will finance the 75%.
So as I understand it, with these payment plans, you're basically doing away with the need for a bank. When I bought my house on an off plan, I took out a mortgage from a bank, and then they lent me some of the money.
Yes.
If I come to buy a property from you today, I don't need a bank because you're going to do the payment plan for me. I just sign a contract with you.
You don't need anyone.
So you're effectively financing the property for me in practical terms.
Yes.
And the deposit I need isn't 25%, which I need for a bank, or 50% when I bought my house off plan. Mm-hmm. It's 10% to you. So I still need a bit of a deposit, just not as much.
As I said, it's 10% down payment and 13% during the construction. So your payments is around 23% during the 3 years and 7% on completion of the project. So the total amount that you pay is around 30%. And 70% over 10 and 15 and 20 years, yes, we are doing something similar what the bank is offering to the market, but in our way, and we have included everything into the plan. We have included the service charge, we have included the DLD, we have everything is included, all the package is including everything. So you only pay me, so you only pay me over the 10 or 15 or 20 years, you only pay me a fixed daily, monthly payment.
Is it working? Are people signing up? You've been in the real estate business for 40 years here. You know it's a soft market at the moment.
Yes, actually the market is not always, I see the market is soft and hard and whatever is it. And for me, I always see the market positive, and I always see that there is a potential into the market. You only need to know how to manage the area in your market and how to understand how I'm going to launch or develop any of my projects into the market needs. Because we did a test on one of our projects in Dubai, and we got, like, when we did the lease to own concept, you pay 75,000 dirhams and you move in, we get a huge demand from the market, and we sold out in 35 days, like 66 units, two bedroom, worth of 1.1 million dirhams. So we found out that there is a potential in the market. There is also a headache when it comes to the process and the approvals and the mortgage and all kind of these things. And we have created some packages which you don't need any of the approvals from anyone. We guarantee 15 minutes to finish your process and your approval, and you own a property.
Talal Al-Ghadar, very passionate CEO of MEG Property Developers.
I appreciate that.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
The Business Breakfast Nightcap
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
A very good evening. I'm Richard Dean, and you are listening to the Business Breakfast Nightcap.
I've had a Land Rover for many a year. I spent all my money on it, not some beer. My wife doesn't like it, she thinks it's a chore. Cause all the pennies fall out through the holes in the floor, but we all love Land Rovers.
It's Land Rover, and they're launching not a new model, but an old one, the Defender, the clunkiest, most old-fashioned model in their lineup. Why, in a world of Teslas, is a company like Jaguar Land Rover doing this? It's an interesting question, and one that the industry is asking, Malcolm, isn't it?
It is. In 1947, it was launched at a motor show in Europe, and it was built out of aluminium because the after the war, other metals were in short supply, so they built it out of aluminium, which, of course, meant it didn't rust. And so it did really well in humid climates, and it was shipped around the world. They've just released a new version of the Defender yesterday, and we're very pleased to have on the line Bruce Robertson, Managing Director of JLR, Jaguar Land Rover, here in the UAE at the Frankfurt Motor Show. Well, I'm looking here at the new vehicle side by side in profile with the original Defender. You know, there's not that much difference, but when you look at this new model, it looks totally different on the surface, but it's the same sort of shape. So well done for coming up with a sort of reinvention of the Defender theme.
The integrity of the Land Rover brand was absolutely, well, Defender was absolutely key to the integrity of the brand, and it was vital for us to keep the same shape. We had to modernize, but at the same time we had to make sure that we retained the core brand values, the capability of the vehicle, and the desirability of the vehicle.
One of the questions, I guess, that everybody is asking, really, it looks chunky. How much is that top show? Who is the target market? Is it the off-road set, the off-road brigade, or the school-run brigade, the yummy mummies on the way to take the kids to school?
No, I think there's a real broad populace that we're appealing to. You know, this vehicle is the most capable Land Rover that we have ever built. So from an off-road perspective, the credentials are 100% Land Rover. What's impressed us more than anything else has been our ability to make this vehicle a desirable vehicle that is very, very good on-road. And the performance on-road now is most probably class-leading in some respects. So we've been very happy with that. So to answer your question directly, it has a real broad appeal for our customer base.
Tell me something. Is it just a petrol version, or are there going to be other variants?
No, we've got two petrol versions, two diesel versions, and MHEV, which is a mild hybrid electric. Our commitment, our Jaguar Land Rover commitment globally, has been that by 2020, all of our vehicles will have an electric variant.
Bruce, I think that the industry is taking such an interest in this, because car launches happen, you know, every day, but this one's got a lot of attention because it's going... Because it's a retro model. And Malcolm was talking earlier on about VW. There's now a retrofitting electric conversion kit for the VW Beetle. Even though this industry is so fixated on the future and future trends, and we spoke about some of these over the summer, this kind of retro element, going back to the golden age of vehicles, seems to be sort of part of the marketing mix. Why do you think that the industry is doing this?
I think classic design is one. You know, people always look back and identify with what effectively made the brand or, you know, launched the brand into success. I don't think it's necessarily retro. I think it might be retro in design, but definitely not in terms of the technologies. And the technologies that are going into the vehicles now are superb. You know, there's also an orientation towards what people want and what clients are expecting. So from an industry perspective, we need to make sure our cars are greener. We need to make sure that they appeal to a broader section of the populace, whilst at the same time, you know, creating that desire and want that people have and remember from vehicles many years ago.
If you're from Southern Africa, you'll know and you see around some of the original Defenders that are 50, 60 years old. I mean, they've had huge longevity in Africa. What do you think the average shelf life of these new vehicles will be?
I'd like to think they're the same. No. In all honesty, I think the shelf life is shorter, but it's not about shelf life. It's about what we do with the vehicles afterwards. And a lot of the vehicles now that are being manufactured, both by ourselves and our competitors, we take a lot of the componentry, we reuse it, and we redefine it and put it back into the vehicles. If I give you an indication of that, the new Defender has over 190 kilograms of recycled plastics. that are effectively being used in the vehicle. So there is this continued commitment. From a sustainability point of view, obviously the more vehicles that we don't have to build because they've been around longer, well, that's good news. I mean, approximately 70%, we believe, of all old Land Rover Defenders are still on the road today.
Bruce, very quickly, you're at the Frankfurt Motor Show, and we were talking about this earlier on. Malcolm in particular noticed that a lot of the major car manufacturers are not there, particularly some of the Japanese manufacturers. You're there, the Germans are there in force, and it raised a question about the future of the motor show in general as a concept. We've got Dubai coming up in a few weeks' time, Detroit earlier on this year. Numbers were down, a number of big car manufacturers didn't go to Detroit. As a manufacturer like Jaguar Land Rover, how do you approach motor shows? Do you think there's still value as a concept in the motor show? And when you're spending your marketing dollars, how do you weigh up the pros and cons?
Look, as an industry, we are definitely battling with it. There is no doubting that they aren't the grand shows that they used to be. With modern technology and the ability of social media to transform messages much faster now, we're able to hit a much higher reach much faster than investing huge sums of money in motor shows. Relevant for some countries, yes. A lot of other countries have moved away from it. So from an organizational point of view, we will always look at what our reach is, what our message needs to be. But as an industry, we are having to redefine what these motor shows are, and is there a future for motor shows? I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we as an industry understand what we're trying to get out of them.
Bruce, I'm just looking at the Car and Classic website in the UK, and they've got a 1952 Land Rover up for £7,350. It's got great collector's value here, which makes me wonder what the new price is of the brand new Defender here in the UAE. What will the on-road price be?
So we will have a starting price of around 207,000 dirhams. And we will go right up to 350,000. So a real broad spectrum of pricing for the customer base.
When will they be in the showroom?
First quarter next year. But the good news is we will be showing the car at the Dubai Motor Show. So a real exciting coup for us there.
Thank you very much indeed. Enjoy the rest of the Frankfurt Motor Show. Bruce Robertson, Managing Director, JLR for the UAE. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's it. Thanks very much indeed for listening to the Business Breakfast Nightcap. We're back tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. with the Business Breakfast Breakfast.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.